There are sometimes when one discusses a certain topic and people have never heard about that topic before, so they think like, wow, maybe they're going to teach me something something new about an attitude towards God, an attitude towards life that I've never encountered. There's no one sitting here who has not studied, has not heard about one of the most basic commandments of our tradition, about Kibbud Av V'Em. And therefore, when I was preparing the presentation, I was thinking, so maybe it's well known, it's so well known, that you don't need me to stand here and discuss it with you. But then I read that Rav Steinman Shlita, one of the great spiritual leaders of the generation, often quoted the Chazon Ish of Karelet Zatzal, who said that we have a tradition, the 30 days before a holiday, one is supposed to occupy himself or herself with the study of the concepts of that holiday. In fact, that was one of my hesitations when Rav Asheri asked me to speak Erev Shavuot, on Kibbud Av V'Em. I said, it's a time where everybody's learning about the Shavuot, they should talk about Shavuot. But then I realized that Kibbud Av V'Em is surely part of Shavuot, as I hope to speak about. So Rav Steinman said, before every holiday, 30 days within a holiday, 30 days within a great event in the national Jewish life, a person is supposed to study about that particular holiday. 30 days before Pesach, Shloshim Yom Kodim, he's supposed to learn Shalim, Darshim, Hilchot Pesach, Shloshim Yom. 30 days before Sukkot, he's supposed to study about Sukkot. 30 days before Shavuot, he's supposed to study about the laws of Yom Tov. Said the Chazon Ish to the many students who were studying in various yeshivot, he said, 30 days before the conclusion of the Zman, 30 days before you're completing your course of study in the particular yeshiva that you find yourself in, that means within 30 days from now, you will then be encountering a major event in your life, an event which has many, many details, many, many laws, many, many concepts. Each of us, in his own way, will be re-entering the world of connection to parents. So Shloshim Yom Kodem, a person has to be involved in the study of Kibbud Av V'Em. That's the way to prepare for the journey, the spiritual journey, the physical journey, back to our homes. And as you know, sometimes it's more natural for a parent to love and to express love for a child than it is for a child to express love to a parent. Sometimes it's a result of the fact that parents, by definition, are older than children. And sometimes they have more life experience than the children do. So maybe they're more open to expressions of love. And someone suggested, one of the great rabbis in the tradition once suggested, that maybe in the essence of the spiritual genes of our nation, in the essence of the spiritual genes of humanity, Adam and Eve, Adam and Hava, bequeathed this concept of loving children. So they taught it somehow. Everybody received it from our great-grandmother. Adam and Eve, everybody says, yeah, children, oh, we all love children. But since Adam and Hava didn't have parents, so maybe there's something lacking in the way we relate to parents, because we don't have this tradition all the way back to the first man and to the first woman. So I'd like to discuss several ideas on Kibbud Av V'Em. I'm open to a few questions at the end if we have time. We're preparing actively for the return to our homes, to the return to the opportunities and to the challenges of being ever so close to our fathers and mothers. But we're also preparing for tomorrow night, for the reading of the Ten Commandments. A basic commandment, maybe a pivotal commandment, is the fifth of the commandments, Kibbud Av V'Em, which seems to be misplaced in the list of the commandments, as I'm sure you've studied over the years. Generally speaking, we divide the commandments into two groups. There are two tablets. There's the tablet that discusses, the Luach that discusses the commandments that are between people and God. Believe in God, connect to God, know about God, don't have other idols, don't bear God's name in vain. Observe the Sabbath, the second set of commandments about the prohibitions of murder and adultery, and about kidnapping, and about jealousy, and about false testimony. So generally speaking, we speak about the first five being Bein Adam LaMakom, and the last five between being Bein Adam LaHavira. And commandment number five doesn't seem to fit the rule, because the fifth commandment, which is the last on the first Luach, is the commandment of Kibud of Ve'em. And surely in most of our minds, if you had to classify the commandment of Kibud of Ve'em, does it belong to the set of commandments between people and God or people and other people? Our fathers and mothers are human. There's an interpersonal level of commandment. So why is it in with the first five? And the Gemara teaches, Shlosha shutafin hein ba'adam. This is very, very important. And this is very rarely taught in classes on biology or in classes in reproduction. This is a concept that's very, very basic in Judaism. Shlosha shutafin hein ba'adam. There are three partners in the creation of a human being. Very, very important. As you're standing at the chuppah Bezrat Hashem, with your wives, you know, as you're bringing a child into the world at a later stage, as you reflect upon your own lives, you know, where are you stemming from? Shlosha shutafim hein ba'adam. There are three partners in the creation of a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv V'Imo. God, a person's father, and a person's mother. Bizman Sha'adam Mechabed et Aviv Ve'etimo. And when a person shows levels of respect, levels of honor to his father or his mother, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ale Ani Alehem Ki Iludarti Beinehem V'chibduni. I consider it as if I dwelled in that house and they respected me. Because our respect for our father and our mother is not only because I found something great about my father, or I found something great about my mother, or I found a distinguishing character that's outstanding in father and mother. Because daddy and mommy are special in this way. Because Abba and Ima excel in this area. But in a certain sense, I'm respecting the fact that they're partners in creation with God. They're God's partners in bringing me to this world. And if that's the case, it doesn't really matter how righteous they are. It doesn't matter how outstanding they are. I'm honoring them in the sense of honoring God. Kaniti ish, the first child ever to be born in this world. Kaniti ish et Hashem. Kaniti ish et Hashem. Et Hashem means with God. According to one interpretation, I've created a human being with God. So perhaps the fifth commandment of Kibud Av V'Em, it's part of those commandments between people and God, because honoring our parents is a form of honoring God, is a form of honoring the ones that brought us to this world. And the Gemara teaches, Rav Yosef, unfortunately at a certain point was sightless. Rav Yosef was blind. Ki havashama kol kara de'imeh. When he heard the footsteps, he was sensitive to sound. When he heard the footsteps of his mother about to enter the room, Amar, Ekum, Mikamei Shechintadatya. I want to stand up for the presence of God that's about to enter. The Shechinah is about to enter the room. Shechinah is about to enter the room. His mother is about to enter the room. His mother is the Shechinah. Has v'shalom, right? That's the heresy. But in a certain sense, each father and mother represents a concept of godliness for each of us. There is a concept, a teaching. I'm not going through the laws of Kibud Av V'Em today. I do hope that you'll find the time to study them, especially over the next several weeks. Is one required to stand up for father and mother? The general custom in the world, I believe, is that many children are just sitting complacently when their fathers and mothers walk into the room. The author of the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Epstein, has a certain limud zechut for this practice. According to technical law, it seems at least once a day. I don't know, maybe once a day, stand up once, at least once in your life, do it. One time, unless you think it's dangerous for your parents' health, it'll be so unusual for them. Who knows what could happen to them if you stand up, you know? But if you stand up in a way, that's respect, one time, let's say, you're going home, maybe the first day you come home, and you're sitting in the living room, and your father walks in, stand up, respectfully. Wow, look what happened. I sent my son to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. I never saw this. We stood up and stand up and respect. Your mother walks in, and you stand up. Eikum mikamei. I'm not saying halacha now. There are great rabbis here. You can ask them what the halacha is. I'm just saying, Eikum mikamei shechinta. Eikum mikamei shechinta da'atya. I know that yesterday, in many places on this planet, which places that are very much connected to the origin of the student, of the hometowns of the students here, I don't mean to, God forbid, belittle the greatness of other countries, but you know, in the United States, yesterday, in Canada also, or just in the United States, Mother's Day was also in Canada, or not?
Yesterday
was Mother's Day. Maybe that's why Rav Asher asked me to speak today about Kibud Av V'Em, an extension of this concept. And I'm sure everybody here called their mothers yesterday, the people who are blessed to have mothers. Hashem should bless everyone in their own way, should be able to get closer and closer to your fathers and to your mothers. Ways beyond description. If you didn't call your mother yesterday, so, you know, maybe, I would say get up now and call her, but that would embarrass the people, you know, like imagine like walking out, it's like putting on tefillin at Minha. You know, like, I mean, I once recommended at a teacher's meeting, I mean, they don't invite me often because I say things which are out of, but I once recommended, I said, I think at every mincha there should be different rabbis putting on tefillin. like in a rotation, you know, like you put on tefillin. You know? So, you know, and no one will ever know, there should be certain students volunteering to put on tefillin, so no one knows what tefillin is. I just woke up, it's 4 o'clock, okay, you know, like that. So I would say that, you know, get up now and call your mother, you know. Now's a good time to call your mother, but in order to camouflage the identity of the people who forgot yesterday that it was Mother's Day in the United States and Canada, I would say immediately afterwards, you know, maybe when no one's looking, just run to the closest phone and call your mother and tell her, you know, whatever you want to say. Are you allowed to lie about why you didn't call yesterday? I don't know. Yes, there's a great rabbi sitting here. Yeah, I don't know. You're allowed to lie. You say, I don't know. The phones weren't working, or, you know, you couldn't dial, or you were so busy studying Torah all day. You know, I don't know. Whatever you were doing. So what is the Jewish attitude towards, Mother's Day? What's the Jewish attitude towards Mother's Day? You know, so I once studied in a certain institution, a very great institution, so great that I won't mention its name out of deep level respect. I had a teacher, a great rabbi, who said, Mother's Day, Mother's Day, every day is Mother's Day. You know, you're supposed to honor your mother every day. And if Hallmark Cards decides that they want to make billions of dollars on Mother's Day greetings, and if there are perfume companies and chocolate companies and, you know, restaurants that increase their revenue, who knows how many fold as a result of Mother's Day. Do I have to tap into that day? I want to honor my mother last Sunday, not this Sunday, every Sunday. So I had one teacher once, and I deeply respect this teacher, but lovingly, I hope respectfully, disagree. I had one teacher who said, you know, our attitude towards Mother's Day is, we don't really observe Mother's Day. Maybe it bothered him that it was a Gentile institution. It wasn't instituted by the, you know, the board of rabbis of the world. It wasn't instituted by the Moetzet Gedolei Hachamim, Moetzet Gedolei Torah. This was a non-Jewish institution, Mother's Day. In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, it's interesting. In Eretz Yisrael, thank God, we're living here for many years. Many, many times they tried to institute Mother's Day and Father's Day in Israel. Many, many times over the years. You know, this one, it just never picked up. Like, they're all students of my Rebbe, because, you know, they're all honoring fathers and mothers every day, and they thought it would be silly to choose one day to honor. But I have a different point of view. I think that it's interesting that in the Gemara and in the Midrash, in several places when they discuss honoring parents, the source that they quote is a non-Jewish source. I find it amazing. You know, we have a concept of Kabel HaEmet, you know, Mimisha Amara, you know, study, accept truth from anyone. Well, listen to the wisdom of any person in the world. But when they're discussing what are the most basic commandments of Torah, one of the Aseret HaDibarot, one of the Aseret HaDivarim, one of the Ten Commandments, and the students ask Rabbi Eliezer, Shalu et Rabbi Eliezer, Adhechan Kibbud Avim, can you tell us something? What's the limit? What's the proper level of expression? How far does it go? How all-encompassing is Kibbud Avim? So I would think that he would say, you know, there's a rabbi in such and such a place. Go study this rabbi's custom. He would tell me all kinds of stories about this rabbi. There's this Rebbe that did this, and there's this great Chassid, there's this great Chacham. That's what I would think. There's a Rosh Yeshiva here, and an Admur here, and a Machanech here, and Mashpia there. And I always found it fascinating, but even more so when I sat down to write a few notes for today's class. He quotes a non-Jewish source. A non-Jewish source to teach us about Kibbud Avim. Shalu et Rabbi Eliezer Adhechan Kibbud Avim. You've all heard the story. Some people have heard the story all the way back, perhaps even in kindergarten. You remember the story about Dama Ben? Anybody? Dama Ben Netina, you know, this non-Jew in Ashkelon, maybe this idol worship, idolater, according to the source, Akum Ehad, depends which version of the Talmud you're reading. Is it Akum or Nochri? Shalu et Amalem Tzu, Ru'u Ma'asa, Ovei Kochavim Ehad, La'aviv Bashkelon. Go study what this idolater did. Look at this. How he treated his father in Ashkelon. I should go and study how an idol worshiper treated his father in Ashkelon. That's what Rabbi Eliezer is telling me. I should go study the practices of non-Jews. I should go study the practices of Ovei Kochavim Ehad. So it seems that maybe even if Mother's Day is instituted by Dama Ben Netina, let's say Dama Ben Netina instituted Mother's Day, according to at least Rabbi Eliezer and Rav Dimi in the Gemara, because in the Gemara, Rav Dimi tells stories, in addition to how Rabbi Eliezer spoke about how Dama Ben Netina honored his father, Rav Dimi tells us how he honored his mother. Non-Jewish sources for honoring parents. And the Gemara says, well, if even non-Jews did it in such a way, how much more so should the Jewish people be sensitive to this concept? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, one of the greatest Tanaim ever, says in the Midrash, I tried my whole life to honor my father. Kol Yomai Hayiti Mishameshet Abba. I put all my effort into trying to honor Abba. But I didn't reach even a fraction of the level of Esav. Esav HaRasha. Whenever we learn, we're always condemning Esav. Esav is like the opposite of righteousness, the opposite of piety, the opposite of Yaakov Avinu. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel teaches us that the paradigm of Kibbud Av is Esav. If he can learn from Esav, then we can all join in Mother's Day and Father's Day. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kol Yomai Hayiti Mishamesh Et Abba V'lo Shimashti Oto Ehad Mimeah Sheshimesh Esav Et Aviv. I did one hundredth of the level. I didn't reach Esav's level of Kibbud Av. Wow, that's so beautiful. And maybe when Rabbi Eliezer says, Tzu'uru, maybe leave your, you know, it's not only here, Tzu'uru, maybe you have to go out and study what's going on with Kibbud Av. And maybe learn the lessons of the positive messages of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em that are being observed in the world. And in terms of my great teacher who felt that every day is Mother's Day, that every day is Father's Day, he's surely correct. But if I may choose a parallel from the Torah, from tomorrow night's celebration, every day we're supposed to also remember Yom Asher Amarta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Behore. Some people, I believe, recite. You do that sometimes. In the back of the Siddur, they have the Sheish. Yes or no? It's the Sheish Zechirot. What? So some people, every day they remember Sinai. Or you're supposed to remember. You say it, you don't say it. Some people include it in certain parts of their prayers, certain parts of the tefillah. They have certain parts of concentration where they're remembering Sinai every day. But just because we remember Sinai every day doesn't mean we don't have a day of the year where we're dedicated to the Sinaitic concept. We're dedicated to the Sinaitic revelation. It's on that day that we're thinking about the Decalogue more than other days. Because you can't think about everything at once. And even though it's traveled in Sukkot, not for a week a year, it wasn't that week that they traveled in those huts. So we should always be living, let's remember Sukkot. Today, let's go outside and sleep in a Sukkah. Because Kibbutz Sukkot Shafti et Bnei Yisrael Botzi'i Otam Meretz Mitzrayim. So 1 week a year. Yeah, there's certain periods, right? You have to think about Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. Man Tizkor Yom Tzeitcha Meretz Mitzrayim. Kol Yimei Chayecha. You're always thinking about Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. So you need a day a year, a holiday a year to focus on it? I think yes. I think the answer is yes. And therefore, with my understanding is, it is a positive thing to be able to connect to a certain mitzvah at a certain time. And the way I would like to suggest proper levels of preparation for your return to this great gift that God gives you, a gift that's irreplaceable, my friend. All the stepfathers and all the stepmothers in the world should be blessed. All the parents who adopted children, such levels of dedication, such levels of love, they should all be blessed. Amen. But you know, your father and your mother, do you think you could ever replace them? You think you could ever see another father and another mother? Maybe someone will come in and maybe you'll start calling them, you know, father or mother. If one father, one mother, one opportunity. And so I would like to suggest that if we want to prepare for the return level of daily contact. We've all been in contact. Every student here is in contact with his father and his mother. But when we're going to go back and live in the same, under the same roof with them, it's very different. Some people find Kibbutz Av Ve'Em to be the most challenging of all commandments of the Torah. Because it's rare to find any commandment where you have to constantly be sensitive, constantly be aware as to what level of observance do I have to observe now? What's going on with this particular commandment at this particular time? So after a year of Torah study, right, we're sitting in Yeshiva Baruch Hashem for a whole year. Are we ready to re-enter that great Beit Midrash of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em? So let's say you come home and you're relaxing on the couch. Your shoes are kicked off and you're lying there and you're relaxing. And maybe in not such a polite way, maybe not such a respectful way, maybe you're demanding, Mommy, maybe you're demanding of your mother to cook and to serve breakfast, lunch, and supper to the great prince who has just arrived home from a deep study course of 10 months of intense study of Torah in the Holy Land of Israel. And of course, you know, I'd like this, please, you know, could you please bring me a drink? Could you, or not, please, you know, I need a drink. I think it's overcooked. I think it's undercooked. No, I don't really like that. I like it this way. I like it that way. I want something else for supper. I had that last night. The question is that reflective? Is that reflective of a year of study? I mean, so what did we study? I mean, it seems basic in the sources that that's not the way. At least my understanding of the sources, unless you have a different reading of the sources. Maybe your mother is supposed to sit at the table. Rabbi Miller often taught us, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, one of my closest teachers, he says that he thinks that in the Jewish home, it's the mother and father who are supposed to be sitting at the table, and the children are supposed to be serving the father and mother. That's the way he described a religious dining room to us. Father and mother say, "Oh, what can I get you? Abba, would you like some? Are you ready for the soup, Abba? Mommy, would you want me to bring you some chicken now? Would you like vegetables? Do you like these?" The opposite, you know, like, "Oh, yeah, but could you bring some more, please?" You know, I don't know. Now, clearly that your fathers and mothers love you so much, that would be similar to what the Aruch HaShulchan writes about standing up for parents. He says there's a certain ma'ilah, there's a certain understanding that I don't want formality. So it's okay, of course. Okay, I love you. You can feel relaxed. You don't have to stand up every time you run in there, sit in the room, move into the room, jump out of your seat. I'm mohel. Kvodo mahul. And maybe there are certain mothers. Maybe your mommy she loves you so much. When's the last time she cooked you a home? Those people went home temporarily for Pesach to bring the word of Eretz Yisrael to you. To chutzlah. Okay, so maybe just recently. Those people that weren't home for a while. So, wow, it's like the biggest thrill in the world. I can cook supper with my son. Right? Could be. But it also could be that maybe we have to study a little bit the laws of Kibbutz Av V'Em as we prepare for our journey. Maybe there's a concept of not pressuring. Maybe it's kind of not pressuring a daddy for the keys to the car. Let's say you want to go out tonight somewhere. Let's say you don't yet have your own car. And let's say he's not so interested in giving you the car for whatever reason. Is it the highest level of Kibbutz Av V'Em, to come after a year of study in Eretz Yisrael, a year of study where we're getting closer and closer to the sources of Torah and Torah wisdom and Torah sages and Torah practices? So I would like to suggest that the way to prepare for this journey is to study, to find in the next couple of weeks, maybe Chavruta programs, maybe different shiurim, or maybe just different self-study programs on the laws of Kibbutz Av V'Em, the most basic text. You could study Talmudic sources. We could have sheets that you could read through passages in the Talmud discussing various laws of Kibbutz Av V'Em. For instance, the Gemara has a whole section. I think in some high schools they study it, right? Yeah. They study Kiddushin in some high schools where they study about Kibbutz Av V'Em, right? Yeah, let's say to read three pages of Talmudic insight. It's not just whether you observe Kibbutz Av V'Em, but it's how you observe Kibbutz Av V'Em. Avimi, son of Rabbi Abahu. Easy to remember that, because Avimi starts with the letters Av, and his father's name starts with the letters Av. So Avimi, that's a mnemonic I made up many years ago, so I remember his name. Avimi, son of Rabbi Abahu. Avimi, it says, it's not just about honoring your father and your mother. It's how you honor your father and mother. Yesh ma'achil aviv pizyoni. B'tor dol min ha'olam. You can serve your father the most expensive foods in the world, and it could drive you straight to hell. Tor dol min ha'olam. It's not whether you observe Kibbutz Av V'Em. It's how you observe Kibbutz Av V'Em. Those people who study concepts of charity know. It's not just observing charity. Is that what is that? Wow. Yeah? Modim anachnu lecha al kol tipa v'tipa. There's a rabbi in Yerushalayim who claims. His name is Rabbi Yoel Schwartz. There's a rabbi in Yerushalayim, one of my great teachers. Rabbi Yoel Schwartz claims, he's written over 200 books, he's a great scholar and a great original thinker. Rabbi Yoel Schwartz thinks that there's a room for a re-study of the laws of Tein Talamata Levracha and Mashiva Ruach Morit HaGeshem after Pesach. In other words, it's a halakha psukah in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, that, in Eretz Yisrael after Pesach, you don't say Mashiva Ruach Morit HaGeshem. You don't say Talamatar. But he claims that if most farmers would be interviewed in the current situation of the agricultural status of Israel, he thinks that many farmers would say, we are interested. The Gemara talks about how rain after a certain point. I'm not saying now, Chas v'Shalom. Maybe later, you know. Later. This is a Gishmei Bracha. But let's say in the middle of the time of Katsir. Let's say, you know, later in the... I don't know when. Let's say there's a certain point. Let's say there's a certain point where rain is not necessarily a sign of blessing. He says that could be, that was in a society where the major products of Israel were wheat products. And where wheat products can get ruined through rain. But when Israel today produces predominantly fruits and vegetables, he claims that most farmers, most experts in agriculture interviewed, would say that that they want rain. They prefer rain even in Nisan, after Pesach, Iyar, and Sivan, and maybe even through the summer. And can we say, he suggests, it's an original thought, I never saw it anywhere else, I never heard it from anybody else. Maybe other people have said it, but I only heard it from him. He said, can we suggest that therefore there's room to add it? Even though it seems to be so clear. Let's say someone said, V'tein talu matal levracha today. And minha, what's the halah? To repeat it, he says, yeah, that's the halacha, but maybe you should repeat it with a Torah Nedava. He says, in other words, maybe you should have a new thought in mind when you repeat the Shemoneh Esrei also, not just repeat it. Because maybe today, the reason why it's so bad is because Talum Matar in a certain season is the opposite of blessing. He's not so sure this is the opposite of blessing. I leave this to the great rabbis to discuss, but that's probably not connected. Is Geshem connected to Kibbutz Av Ein? Yes, what's the connection?
Arof.
What? Arof. Yeah, Arof Kamatar Likhe. Tizal Katal, what? Okay, so what was I saying? That Avimi says it's important not only whether you observe Kibbutz Av Ein, but how you observe Kibbutz Av Ein. And then all the rabbis in the Talmud, the only way you make it into this book is if you teach great teachings, but if you talk the talk without walking the walk, your name doesn't appear here. It appears marginally in this great work. In other words, the rabbis, Baruch Shabahar, as we say in the introduction to the sixth parak of Pirkei Avot, if there is a sixth parak, whatever we call the sixth parak of Pirkei Avot, the parak that was later compiled from Baraitot, from other sources, in order to have six chapters to read between Pesach and Shavuot. In the so-called sixth chapter of Pirkei Avot, it says in the introduction, Baruch Shebahar Bahem Uvamishnatan. Blessed be God who chose them and their teaching. So my father used to say all the time, he says, not Baruch Shebahar B'mishnatan. Baruch Shebahar Bahem Uvamishnatan. One of the greatest sources that we study is not only the teachings of the rabbis, but the actions of the rabbis. So, and one of the greatest proofs ever that you could do that you could follow a certain level of behaviors, if you could tell, if you could quote a story about a rabbi doing a certain kind of thing, that's proof positive that that's the way to act. That's proof positive that's the way to act. A Maaseh Rav is greater sometimes than an abstract teaching. So it's interesting that the Gemara teaches that Avimi speaks about how important it is to honor parents with certain kinds of levels of dedication, and on the very next page, the Gemara teaches how Avimi, his father, his name is Rabbi.
Hello.
Thank you so much. Nobody was listening. Hashem should bless you. Avimi, son of
Abahu.
Yeah, what's the mnemonic? Avimi, son of Rabbi Abahu. So Rabbi Abahu says, you know my son Avimi? He's the one teaching me. He just taught us about Kibbutz Av. So his father testifies, I bless all your fathers, they should be able to testify about you, that you excelling in Kibbutz Av, you know? Amar Rabbi Abahu! You know who really knows how to do Kibbutz Av? My son, Avimi. Kigon, Avi, my Bri. My son, Avi. Kiyem, mitzvah Kibbutz. He really excels in the mitzvah of Kibbutz. He really knows how to observe Kibbutz Av. And then he tells stories about his son. About his son. One of the stories he tells is that whenever Rabbi Abahu would come to visit his son, whose name was? Yeah. So Avimi he had five children already. He had five children who were outstanding scholars. Avimi had five children already. had five grown sons. Chamisha b'nei samchei havalei l'avimei b'chayei aviv. He had five children who were already on levels of advanced study. It means five adult children who were learned. But every single time that Rabbi Abahu would come to Avimi's house, Avimi never let any of his children answer the door. He ran to the door to greet his father. Kigon Avimi Bri, Kiyei Mitzvat Kibud, Hamisha B'nei Samchei Havalei Lavi B'chei Aviv, V'chi Hava Atah Rabbi Abahu, Karei Abava, whenever Rabbi Abba would come and knock at the door, Rahit, he would run. He would run to answer the door himself. He didn't allow any of his children. In other words, none of the grandchildren, even though you have to train grandchildren in honoring grandparents, that's a different discussion. The question is, how do you train his grandchildren? But maybe the greatest way to see if they see that the parents are honoring their parents. Maybe that itself is a way of training grandchildren. He didn't let any of them answer the door because he wanted to. Rashi says, he didn't let any of his children go to the door because he wanted to show honor for his father. And while he was running to the door, today, thank God, many places we have intercom systems. You know, someone's ringing the door, so maybe you could announce to them, you could buzz them in or something. But sometimes there's no intercom. Sometimes you can't open the door. Sometimes you have to run from the kitchen all the way to the front door to answer. It says, as he was running, he was screaming. He was screaming in a loud way. He says, "Father, I'm arriving. I'm coming to the door. I'm coming. One second. It's sensitivity. You ever see someone knocking at the door? They're ringing the bell, And they don't know. Someone home. Someone's not home. Someone cares. Someone doesn't care. But my son, Avimi, says Rabbi Abahu, whenever I would come to his house, he was so excited. And he's, yes. And Baba was Vamar in. Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Don't worry. I'm coming to the door. Ad matai hatan, you know. So those are the people teaching us about Kibbud Av Ve'im. I think that when you study the laws of the Shulchan Aruch, for instance, and I think that's a great text to study. The Shulchan Aruch is the Yura De'ah, and I do believe that it's important to study the sources in the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, you want to read it in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's an excellent work. The later sources that abridged the forms of the original teaching. You can read it in the Talmud, you can read it in the Ramban, you can read it in the Shulchan Aruch, I think, is the main source of Jewish law. Siman Resh Mem, a mnemonic to remember that. Resh Mem means Ram. Ram means something which is very, very elevated. But Resh Mem, the other letters of Resh Mem are Mar, something which is very bitter. Kibbud Av Ve'im, to some people, is Ram. Some people, they're learning the laws of Kibbud Av Ve'im in Siman Resh Mem, in the elevated state. Wow, I'm so blessed to have a father. I'm so blessed to have a mother. I thank God every day for father and mother. Thank God every day that, you know, I could perform these. Oh, wow, what an honor. And some people, it's just one big Mar experience. For them, it's reading Siman Mar. It's so bitter. Why do I have to do this with my father? Why do I have to do that with my mother? Why do I have to act in this way? Why do I have to act in that way? And maybe the challenges and the dilemmas that face each of us as we return home. When does a mother have a right to interfere? What are the levels? What's the upper limit? When can they tell me what to do? Can they tell me, do they have a right according to halakha? I want to study in this institution, and they want me to study in the other institution. Can my father or mother dictate to me which yeshiva I should go to? Study Siman Resh Mem. And hopefully it won't be Siman Mem Resh for you. Study Siman Resh Mem. Study the laws in Yeredia. I want to go to this college. I want to go to this university. My mother very much insists that I go to the other university. My father wants me to go to this college. I'm interested in this particular profession. But they want me to pursue the other profession. Do they have a right to do that? When do I say that if the girl that I'm dating, they don't like the girl that I'm dating, they're not interested in the girl that I'm dating? When do I say that that's a form of interference, which is beyond the level of kibbud of name. And a person has a right to self-expression, especially in something so basic as the person they're going to spend the rest of their life with. So when you study the clarification in Siman Resh Mem, which hopefully will never be Siman Mem Resh to you, when you study this Siman Resh Mem in Yored De'ah, and study certain levels of insight into when appearance statements are interference, and when appearance statements are levels of guidance, maybe it's at that point that you can clarify some of the dilemmas that are open before us as we head home to once again embrace our fathers and our mothers. When is the definition of a sweater legitimately defined as a garment that a child wears when a parent is cold? Is that sick? Is that proper? Do I have to put on a sweater because mommy is cold? Let her put on a sweater. When is it kibud av v'aim? When is it beyond kibud av v'aim? When do I have to respect? And when do I have a right to self-expression? And even if I have a right to self-expression, how do I have a right? How do I have a right to self-expression? You know, we have a teaching that the two tablets that we're going to be speaking about so much tomorrow night and Wednesday, the two luchot, the first one had the commandments 1 to 5, and the second one had commandments 6 to 10, and there's a parallelism between the two tablets. And according to the system of study, which we don't have time, I'm supposed to end at 5:45, I think there are great rabbis waiting to teach. I can borrow 3 minutes, I hope. Three minutes, Belina. There's a certain parallelism between the first luach and the second luach. Meaning that if you really study it, commandment number one is somehow connected to commandment number six. Commandment number two is connected to commandment number seven. According to the system of thought, commandment number five is the parallel of commandment number ten. The last one on the first luach and the last one on the second luach. And it has been suggested, Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha. I'll pronounce it incorrectly for the purpose of emphasis. Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha. Honor your father and your mother. Not just honor father and mother. Because there are so many people who would say, yeah, I think it's beautiful to honor fathers and mothers. It's a great teaching. Surely a person should honor father and mother. But not my father. Not my mother. Because my father, my mother... You know, if you knew who my father is, you wouldn't even discuss it. You know, if his father would be my father, of course I would honor him. If her mother would be my that, wow, what a mother she has an outstanding mother. Kabed et avicha, et imecha, your father, your mother. There's a particular reason. Why is this man your father, not his father? Why is this man your father, not my father? Your avicha, and what's the tenth commandment? What? Lo tachmod. Beit Riecha, right? That's exactly the same teaching, right? Lo tachmod Beit Riecha. I wish I was in someone else's family. There's some people who wish the whole life, they wish, oh, this is the father, and oh, this is the mother. Oh, God. Why I wish I had a different mother. That's lo tachmod. That's lo tachmod. It's a silly attitude towards life. It's a defeating attitude towards life. And so, as we prepare for Aseret HaDivarot, as we prepare for the Aseret HaDivarim, as we prepare for the Hag HaShavuot, the commandment which most blatantly of the commandments in Aseret HaDibro, which speaks about a sachar. I mean, there is sachar mentioned, Osa Hesed Lalafim, maybe. Maybe Osa Hesed Lalafim may mention some kind of sachar. But the outstanding Dibra, which speaks openly about a sachar, is Kabeir Tavicha Vetimecha, Man Yerichun Yamecha, Allah Adama Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach. I think the fact that you even sat through this is already a form of Kibbutz Aven. The fact that you will pursue studies of Kibbutz Aven. The fact that you will be able, Bezrat Hashem, to fulfill it on the highest levels. You'll all have Arichut Yamin. Allah Adama Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach. Why is the Sachar? Why is the reward for Kibbutz Aven? Laman Yerichun Yamecha. It has often been suggested in the Mefarshim. More than one place I saw this, because it takes time. It takes time to honor father and mother. I can't drive you to the wedding tonight. I'm busy. I can't go to the cleaners to pick up your dress. I'm busy. I can't talk to you now, mommy. I'm in the middle of something. I can't. Could you do this? No, I don't have time. You don't have time? I don't have time to call you. I don't have time to visit you. I don't have time. L'man yerichun yamecha. Hashem says, no matter how much time you invest in honoring your father and mother, you'll get it back at least the trillionfold. Leman yarichun yamech, you'll have arichut yamim ba'olam azev, arichut yamim ba'olam haba, al ha'adama asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. Even if you're temporarily thinking of going back to show honor to your father and mother, maybe that's one of the reasons for your travel within the next couple of weeks back to the United States, because you want to do the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. But realize that as a result of that, leman yarichun yamecha, not only arichut yamim, but al ha'adama asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. Because maybe when you go back to your source and you show honor to your source, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back to the ultimate source, which is, of course, Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much for listening. Chag Sameach.